I just brought up here a few things I want to highlight to you that you might want to check out. There's a CD we released some time ago called We Declare War. It's kind of like a bold title. And sometimes people would ask us, you know, why are you calling an album We Declare War? Why not We Declare Love? And nothing wrong with that. But we just really felt there was something key about releasing that declaration, because it was more like a statement to the body of Christ to arise and stop cohabiting with the enemy we're called to evict. So it's time to declare war against compromise. It's time to declare war against addictions. It's time to declare war against all kinds of oppression of darkness and stop cohabiting with it, because actually you're called to kick it out. So that's what this is about. There's some prayers on there, the first track and the second to the last track. On there, it's called, the first one's called We Arise, just a declaration and prayer. And the last one is, that's a prayer on there, it's called Big Ben. And so it's music, but you know the Big Ben sound? It's music to the Big Ben sound, yeah, track, but kind of elaborated into music. And then some declarations over the United Kingdom. And you know, it's kind of like a very key time to be praying for the nation right now with the elections coming up. It's 12-12, and I feel like, obviously, that's kind of key already, 12-12, number of government. And there's something quite key about that in terms of our declarations for the United Kingdom government to come into alignment with the government of heaven at this time. We need to see that alignment, that breakthrough, even over Brexit. Anyway, I think this will be a blessing to you. I know it's blessed a lot of people. So who will like this? I'm going to give it to the lady over there. You over there. I don't know your name. But you are the first to put your hand up. Do you want to come and get this? And you're going to promise me you're going to listen to it. Well, God bless you. I didn't bring lots of stuff up here because I just want to get on with the teaching. But we got this T-shirt. And I love this because it says, no retreat, no surrender. And we have been releasing this declaration over and over because as a prayer movement, we're called to gain territories. Have you ever noticed that in Ephesians 6, there is no armor for your backside? Do you know why? You were never designed to turn your back and run away from the enemy. You were designed to confront. And even if you're not able to move, stand. Too many people are turning their back. So we put this on a T-shirt because it became our declaration. No retreat, no surrender. We're advancing. We're moving forward. Okay, because you come to meetings like this, you get excited, you go home, and everything goes crazy. It's like the thing you're praying for, it gets worse. And, you know, in fact, I might as well start teaching right now. And it's like things just go crazy. And sometimes people feel like the prayer is not working because things have gone worse. Newsflash, the fact that it's gone worse actually means it's working. The reactions in the natural are reflecting what's happened in the spirit. And it's there, it's the things happening in the natural are designed to shut you down and stop you from praying. So oftentimes people stop praying and go, oh, you know what, God, maybe God didn't hear me. No, God is hearing you. And there's a lot more going on in the realm of the spirit. I'll be touching on that later, but I'm going to bless someone with this. Okay, I'm going to bless someone with it. The first person to come over here is going to get it. Okay, and this, another one, what's it? I will not be silent. I want to give this to someone that's been struggling to release their sound, and you feel like, you feel like you want this day to be a new beginning in you being able to release your sound in prayer. I see a lady at the back over there. Yes, you over there. I'm going to give that to you. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Stretch your hands towards her. What's your name? Huh? Nikki. So Father, we release this into Nikki's life right now. We break the silence off of Nikki's voice in the spirit. And Lord, every limitation, every oppression, every manipulation of the enemy over our life, Father, I just declare it broken now in the name of Jesus. I release that sound like the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah to come forth from her. Even today, Father, let there be a new release in her sound in Jesus' name. The sound that causes fear in the camp of the enemy. The sound that causes her to be able to go and take what the enemy has stolen from her, Father. We claim everything back right now. Not just restoration, but restitution in the name of Jesus. The areas of attack of the enemy, we declare right now that the enemy is going to regret the day where he first laid his hands on you and started to attack your mind and attack your family, that from this moment onwards, you're coming out. And you're not just coming out free, you're taking everything that he's been stealing from you and your family. I declare that you become a warrior in the name of Jesus. You are a warrior in Jesus' name. Warfare surrounds the birth of a miracle. And because you're carrying heavy duty in the spirit, the enemy has been bombarding you to restrict you and hold you captive and shut you down. But today we're serving the enemy notice. No more, no more, no more. And we terminate the assignment of darkness over your life. I even speak over your dreams right now. Now your dreams begin to be recalibrated in the realm of the spirit. And you begin to receive prophetic revelation. Where there's been torment and oppression in the night, I break that off in the name of Jesus. And I declare you're not scared of the dark because you carry the light of God. Therefore, everywhere you walk into, darkness cannot remain. And I release that light of God over you right now. I release the life of God into you and over you right now. Be free in Jesus' name. And release that sound. God bless you. If you've got your Bibles, I'd love you to turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. This session, I want to touch on the spirit realm. And it's something that I'm very fascinated by. And I find an understanding of what's going on in the spirit realm and how things work and why things are the way they are, oftentimes has helped me to keep going strong in prayer, even when I physically don't feel much. And having lived in the United Kingdom since 2001, I think it's fair to say a lot of Western Christians I've encountered have no concept for the realm of the Spirit. In fact, a lot of Christians are unbelieving believers because they're saying a lot of things they don't really believe. And the lack of fervency in our prayer oftentimes is a sign of the lack of revelation of the importance of the spirit realm and what's really going on. There's a lot more, by the way, there's a lot more going on in this room than what your eyes can see. I hope you realize that. And the sooner you become awakened to that, the more you are effective many times in spiritual activities such as prayer and worship. So I'm going to read a few verses here, and then so by help of the Holy Spirit, bring some more clarity, revelation to you. And I think this is such a foundational teaching, really, in my view. And yes, let's go. So 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, isn't it funny that the guy writing this has been through shipwreck, you know, depression, all kinds of loss, and things that many of us will have no idea about. And he's called all of that light affliction. Oh, Lord. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. See, some of you are going through some hard times right now, and you feel like it's just been going on forever. But I love this perspective that Paul has given us. Even though it may feel like a decade, it's actually from the view of eternity, it's just a moment. It might feel to you like 5 years, but it's just like that, a moment. So the right perspective is so important here. For our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I'm reading this, and there's just so much that's even impacted me just saying that. Our light afflictions are working for us an eternal weight of glory. But somehow, the Western Christian, or maybe let's say the 21st century Christian, does not want afflictions. We don't want tribulations. We want an easy life that looks good and feels successful here. But according to this verse, if we are concerned about what is in our heavenly bank account,
We would have to embrace afflictions on this side because it's working for us some deposits. Are you hearing me? You know, Jesus is the head of the church, and we are called the body of Christ. So, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, famous scripture, the gates of hell will not prevail. He is the head, and we are the body. And he said he will build his church. In other words, he will build his body. Newsflash, Jesus is a bodybuilder. Have you seen bodybuilders? They don't look like me, trust me. They've got some huge muscle. Okay, and how did they get those muscles? They didn't get those muscles by going to the gym and just staring at the weights. Thank you, Lord, for these weights. They look so good. That's not how they got those muscles. To get the muscles, they had to lift the weight. And the bigger the muscle you want to build, the heavier the weight you have to lift. So you might be here going, oh, Lord, my life feels so challenging. Maybe he's building the spiritual muscle through the afflictions you're complaining about. And you're saying, Lord, why me, why me? Well, why not you? I thought you wanted to grow strong in God. You're not going to grow strong in God just by listening to a teaching and saying, hallelujah, Jesus, and doing that every Sunday, and you're going to go strong? No. In fact, some of the most powerful men and women of God on the planet who are spiritually strong, and you see them and go, wow, they carry so much weight in the spirit, are some of the people that have been through some of the most difficult circumstances in life. Sometimes they won't even talk about it on the platform. And as they're preaching, they're going through some serious situations back home or wherever. But those situations are helping them build some weight. And you come here and you hear them speak or minister, you're like, wow, amazing glory, amazing presence. You have no idea where that's come from. Don't just go to someone and say, oh, can I have a double portion of your anointing? Because you don't have any idea where that anointing came from. The anointing came from crushing. You want a double portion of the anointing? Then you want a double portion of the troubles that gave birth to that anointing. Are you hearing me today? So don't just be quick to covet something if you don't know the process that led to that manifestation. So here, he's saying, there are light afflictions, but they're working for us something of huge significance. And this is the problem we have. And I'm going to come to the spirit realm here, and he touches on it. It's because our view is so short-sighted. Our view of life is so temporal. We don't really think from an eternal mindset. We've invest our energy in this life that is so short. There was a time I saw Francis Chan do an illustration that I was really blessed by. He got like a roll of tissue or something like that, like a long rope, and he painted the end of it black. Okay, a tiny bit of it black. And then he rolled it out, and he said to the people, he says, imagine this roll of tissue or whatever kind of goes on for eternity. He says, this black bit is your life on earth. It's like some people, all they think about is this short dot right here. All they invest in is this right here. All their whole life is revolved around this dot right here. And it's only a moment. 70 years, only 80 years, just like that, gone. But eternity, you can't even compare. Are you with me? And God wants you to think from an eternal perspective. And when you begin to think that way, your priorities change. Haven't you noticed that people who've had near-death experiences, oftentimes after those experiences, their life changes? In fact, I read something in the news recently about a famous actor, comedian guy, Kevin something. I don't know, who had a near-death experience, and his whole countenance, the way he spoke, completely changed. His whole view of life changed because he was instantly confronted with the reality of eternity. And that reality brings a shift in your perspective in the now. So why should we wait for near-death experience? Why should we wait to get to heaven to realize we wasted our life on the earth? On your deathbed, you're not going to be thinking, oh, I pray too much. Oh, I wish I fasted less. You're going to be wishing on your death, oh, I wish I gave more to God. Oh, I wish I sought God more. Oh, I wish I didn't waste all that time just watching all those movies for hours and hours. That's more what you're going to be thinking on your deathbed. So why do you want to wait to be thinking on your deathbed? Why don't you start now? Have you read of Billy Graham when he was asked, you know, what the things he wished he would have done more when he died? And he was talking about how he wanted to read the word more and spend more time with Jesus, one of the greatest evangelists we've ever known, who had a deep walk with God, but he's saying that at the end of his life, I wish I had spent more time. And here you are, you have all the time, and you're wasting it on Downton Abbey. And you're wasting it on this show here, and this show there, and hours and hours and hours and hours. And then they say, let's pray. Haven't you noticed, oftentimes when you get together with your friends, this happens many times, we talk for a while, and then I say, let's pray. And the moment I say, let's pray, or someone says, let's pray, people start yawning. Anyone notice that? But we talked for an hour, and I didn't see you yawn one bit. The moment I said, let's pray, and then everyone's feeling sleepy. That's a spirit. It's the flesh reacting, resisting the spirit. But we're so used to the flesh, we easily cave into the desires of the flesh. So when the flesh yawns, or when the flesh wants to eat and do whatever, we just, oh, flesh, just have your way. And so we have many carnal believers, and we're not able to effect change and manifest the kingdom because God can't get through us the way he wants to. I believe God is wanting us to have an eternal perspective. And when you begin to have an eternal perspective, you realize everything is spiritual. Everyone say that. Everything is spiritual. So we're going to come to these next few verses now. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, it says, there are things seen. So this is a thing that is seen. This is a thing that is seen. The chair you're sitting on is a thing that's seen. And then it says, there are things unseen. The fact that you cannot see them does not mean they don't have substance to them. So the things that are unseen are eternal, and the things that are seen are temporal. Now, as you read through scripture, you see a pattern and you see some interesting things. God, who is spirit, created this physical world. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's very interesting because it means God was not in heaven and he wasn't in the earth. He was outside. In another, are you hearing me? He created the heavens. And then he created, that means he was outside of that. That's mind-blowing to me. So God is like a whole new, people think sometimes white is the opposite of black and light is the opposite of darkness. Therefore, Satan is the opposite of God. No. God has no opposites. Because he is uncreated. The devil is created. In fact, the fight is not between God and the devil. I hope you realize that. It's between the devil and the people of God and the kingdom of God on the earth. He cannot resist God. I mean, read scripture. He tried and he was kicked out of heaven. It's impossible. The creator cannot overthrow the creator. Impossible. So the fight is not between God and the devil. It's more between the devil and the purposes of God on the earth. So God came as us to defeat him, then to show us how we should stand in our victory and defeat him. Are you hearing me today? So God created the heavens and the earth. And according to the book of John, we know that God is spirit. So the fact that God is spirit does not mean there is no substance to him. You know, you think of like you're trying to hug a spirit and, you know, it's like you feel like you're going to pass through them. Like, you know, oh, yeah, let's try a hug now. And you just pass through them. Well, because you're dealing with two different realms. If you're in the realm of the spirit right now, in terms of, well, you are, but we'll come to that in a moment. If you're in the realm of the spirit and you're able to observe activities and see the things in the spirit, they are not intangible. They're all tangible. You can touch, you can feel. In fact, the senses are more heightened in the realm of the spirit. Let me just put all that on pause for a moment. Now, I grew up in Nigeria, and I think how do I explain this? The atmosphere in places like Nigeria and some parts of Africa and probably most of Africa and other nations of the world seem to be highly sensitive to spiritual realities. So people in the West often have been indoctrinated by demonic ideologies that cause them to intellectualize spiritual realities and somehow get to a conclusion that God is not real. Or they believe God is real, but they intellectualize miracles. Oh, you know what? They didn't walk through the Red Sea. It was just a little bit of water that they were able to walk. Oh, it wasn't the feeding of the 5,000. They actually just got very generous and all shared their packed lunch together. Have you heard those kind of interpretation of scripture? It's people that are trying to intellectualize spiritual realities. And it's a demonic ideology that's infiltrating not just the church, but the whole world. So in the West, people are not as spiritually tuned in or turned on. But in some ways, they are to the dark side, because I see how they all flock to Harry Potter. Because that's witchcraft. Okay, now, you may disagree with me, but that's fine. That's up to you. I'm telling you, that is witchcraft written down and practiced. Some of the curses are actual curses. Okay, but let's not go there right now. Where was I? Yes. Intellectualizing spiritual reality. So in the West, we're very much trying to explain everything. Now, I grew up in Nigeria, where people are very sensitive to spiritual realities. I came to the UK when I was 17. Up until the time I came to the UK, all my life, I never met one atheist. And I didn't know anyone that knew someone that was an atheist, as far as I can remember. And I came here in 2017, and I'd never met an atheist my whole life until I went to college, and my best friend at college was an atheist. So every day we talk about God. You know, the Bible says the fool says in his heart there's no God. So I think he's a fool, but he thinks I'm a fool as well because I believe in God. So here's two fools having an argument. But it was so fun because he couldn't understand why I would believe, and I couldn't understand. So we got on really well. And the thing is, we did get on quite well, actually. So after college and everything, we went on my way, went his way. We still stayed connected. You know, when he got in trouble, you know who he got in touch with? So they may be arguing with you, but I'm telling you, oftentimes their argument is almost trying, they're arguing physically with you, but behind that's like, please tell me this is real. Please tell me this. Don't be like the others I've heard about. Don't be like the hypocrite. Tell me this is for real. And you may not even have all the arguments. You may not have everything, but you just living your life as a testimony is enough. And you just being there as a witness when the opportunities arise to shine the light is enough. You don't have to have all the words. Listen, it doesn't matter how intellectual you would have been in the day of Saul. There is no argument you would have had that would have convinced them about the reality of Jesus being resurrected from the dead and being the Messiah. It would have had to be an encounter. In the West, we just want to argue. Now, I'm not against theology and what's that thing called? Apologetics, yes. I listen to some of those great guys that I know how to argue the faith. I do believe in that. But I'm trying to say that salvation and everything that we stand for is spiritual activities that have to have their source in the realm of the Spirit. Salvation is a miracle. It has to be an encounter. Are you hearing me? Now, apologetics can lead people in that direction and help them and probe them and push them. But without an encounter, it's just a whole lot of information, a whole lot of argument. And you could not have been able to argue with Saul. Argue because he was the intellectual guy. He had to have an encounter. So you need to realize there are times where you're talking to people, you're interacting with people, and they are even more intelligent than you, and they can argue things out, whatever. But you know what? They may resist your arguments. They may fight you in everything you're doing. But you know one thing they cannot resist? Your prayers. Because you're going to the source. And I'll touch on that in a few moments right now. In a few moments. So the Lord, in the realm of the Spirit, he spoke this world into existence. Actually, before I go into that, that's what I was talking about. When I grew up in Nigeria, I never met an atheist my whole life. I came to the UK, and then I met my friend at college, an atheist. And I started to realize as I get involved in church activities that there are a lot of Christians who call themselves Christians but are actually atheists. In that they don't really believe because their lifestyle does not show that they believe. So when I look at a lot of things happening in the West and I talk about some of the dark things that I see in Africa, you know, like I said about witchcraft earlier on today, people are like, oh, you know, that's intense. You know, that doesn't happen here. Listen, witchcraft is as real right here in Kobe as it is in some bush in Nigeria with some herbalist who is doing all these things. Now, the manifestations may look different. In fact, witchcraft in Ghana may look different to witchcraft in Nigeria and may look different to witchcraft in Brazil. And the witchcraft in the West is probably one of the most sophisticated because, listen, it's been repackaged for the Western mind. So you don't even know what you're dealing with, but it's infiltrated a lot of the movies and the media, and it's just right there before your eyes, and you've been desensitized to it. So we come to church and we want to engage in the real deal, but you've been desensitized by the other side. So now you're dull to the real thing. And what's actually in your heart is resistance and unbelief and all that stuff. And I want you to realize the realm of the spirit is a lot more real than you realize. I mean, it was not too long ago, my wife's mom went out to get her, I don't know what women do, pedicure or something, you know, whatever. She went out to this place, and the person that was doing this thing, you know, for her, you know, was involved in the occult. So she started, you know, evangelizing and sharing the gospel with this person. And this person ended up getting saved. Now, when they got saved, do you know what they said? This was her words. The spirits in my house would not be happy about what's happened to me right now. And then she goes on to say to my mother-in-law how, you know, on a monthly basis, they go to the mountains and perform certain sacrifices right there in Macclesfield, close to Manchester. So I was talking to some of the people in our school of prayer, and I'm like, listen, that's happening right here. That is not in some bush where people have no technology and have no idea of, are you hearing me? So you need to get rid of this mindset that witchcraft and darkness is only out there in some places that where people are not enlightened. It's very much active in our government. Oh, I don't know if I want to go there right now. Let's reserve that for another time. So here you have God in the realm of the spirit, according to the book of John. He's spirit. He speaks the world into existence. And we've just read that the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. So God, who is spiritual, in the realm of the spirit, he created the physical world. And he formed Adam. And you know your Bible, hopefully. He says he formed Adam from the dust of the earth. So when God created Adam, Adam's shell was formed, but it was an empty shell. Nothing was in there. So Adam's body was formed, but there was nothing in there. It was just like a statue until God breathed his life into that shell. So Adam became a living being, not because of the shell, but because of the life. And that life came from a God who is spirit, a God who is eternal. So the life that came from God into that shell was spiritual and was eternal. So Adam's body is not Adam. Adam's body made it possible for him to be on this planet and engage with this dimension. Because God exists in a spiritual dimension. He created a physical dimension. And he gave Adam a body so that he could engage with this physical dimension. But the real Adam is spiritual. Are you hearing me? Your body is not you. Your body is just your container. When you die, your body is buried, but you don't cease to exist. Every human being is going to live forever. Every human being, whether they believe in God or not. Every human being is going to live. You know why? Because the life that God breathed into Adam is eternal. Now, I understand eternal life in concept of getting saved, but I'm talking about, like it says in Ecclesiastes, that eternity has been written on our hearts. So every human spirit is eternal because every human spirit came from God. Okay, where was Adam before he got into his body? He was in God. Jeremiah 1. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet. Where was Jeremiah before he got into his mother's womb? He was in God. Psalm 139. All the days of your life were written in a book before they ever came into being. In other words, God already knew about you before you entered your mother's womb. Where was Adam before he got into his mother's womb? He was in God. Where was Jeremiah before he got into his mother's womb? He was in God. Where were you before you came on the earth? You were in God. Because your life came from him. He is the one that's holding everything together. Even the people that are swearing at him and are cursing him, he is the one that's holding their life together right now. Every bit of life comes from him. He created all things. Now, God breathed his life into the shell and Adam became a living being. In Adam, you have three dimensions. Well, let's say two dimensions, really. But sometimes people talk about it in three dimensions. One, you have the body, you have the soul, you have the spirit. The body is what makes it possible for you to be on this planet. Without your body, you are an illegal spirit on this planet. Your body makes it legal for you to be here. So your body is actually important. Your body is the temple of the. Are you hearing me? Now, your soul and your spirit are very intertwined. As in, they can be almost one. Everything pretty much that is not physical that you feel is often spiritual. Why do I say that? Because in Hebrews, he says, the word of God is sharp and powerful. Even, everyone say even. Say even again. The word of God is sharp and powerful, even to the division of the soul and the spirit. In other words, the writer of Hebrews is trying to tell us, he's trying to explain to us how sharp the word of God is. That the word of God is so sharp that it can divide between the soul and spirit. Why? Because the soul and the spirit are quite intertwined and quite difficult to separate. Are you hearing me? Because when God breathed into Adam, I believe it was the combination of Adam's soul and spirit. And the soul is made of the mind, the will, and the emotions. In essence, what I'm trying to say is, the real you is not physical. The real you is spirit. You're not a physical being trying to have a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual being having a physical experience. Are you hearing me today? As you look at me right now, you already exist in the realm of the spirit. You're not just aware of it. So then this brings a few questions. Well, why is it that we don't see angels and demons? Now, there are times where we're more aware of their presence and, you know, you see people getting delivered and you can tell demons are active. And, you know, I have people in my life that definitely do see angels like with eyes open. I've never really seen angels with my eyes open in that way, but I am aware of angelic activities. So the question is, why is it that we don't really engage in these realities? Because when Adam was created, Adam, this is amazing. When Adam was created, Adam was able to talk to God. And it wasn't weird for Adam for God to come walking in the garden. God, who is spirit, is walking in the garden and talking to Adam, and they're having conversations, which means Adam was able to see into the realm of the spirit. And Adam could see angels and demons. Well, yeah, Satan was a demon, I guess. Adam could see what was going on in the realm of the spirit because he was primarily more aware of the realm of the spirit than he was his physical nakedness. He didn't say they were naked and not ashamed. He was more spiritual conscious. So it's almost like before sin came into the world, mankind was created to function in the dual realms, with the spiritual almost being superior, because that's how Adam was able to commune with God. So it was spirit, soul, body. When sin came into the world, there became a reversal. Now, it's what? Body, soul, spirit. So now you're more conscious of your body than you are your spirit. You're more conscious of physical realities than you are spiritual realities. And when we go to Hebrews, you see what it says in Hebrews? It says, by faith, we know that the worlds were framed. For the things that are seen are made from things unseen. You hear that again? Everything around us that's physical came from another realm. And this is a very important truth to grasp. Because everything from this realm came from another realm. It means that realm is far superior to this realm, physical realm. Because that realm produced this realm. Now, you're trying to pray for sickness to be gone. You're trying to pray for deliverance. You're trying to pray for revival. You can't just see those things happen by trying to do them in the physical realm. Now, yeah, I thank God for doctors and all that, but you got to realize a lot of times when Jesus healed the sick, he cast out demons. Not every sickness, but majority of sicknesses have demonic influences. Listen, you cannot medicate demons. You cast them out. So you got to discern the source of what's going on. Is it just biological, chemical things? Fine. Or is it got a root in the realm of the spirit? Haven't you noticed when you go to the doctors, they often ask you your history. Is this in your bloodline? Is this there? Is this there? They're asking you that in the natural. Don't you think that's also relevant in the spirit? Oh, we're going to open up a whole new thing here now. You're like, well, I got saved and everything should have been sorted right there and then. Yes, you got saved. Your spirit was renewed in Christ. Listen, your body is the hardware. Your soul is the software. Your spirit is the power. You got saved and there was power restored in your spirit. But before you got saved, your soul had downloaded all kinds of junk softwares. You had all kinds of garbage in your... Are you hearing me? Some of you from your bloodline. And you say, well, my spirit is regenerated, so everything should be perfect. So why does it say in Romans 12 that you have to still renew? Well, there's no point to renew if you're already saved and it's already done. In other words, salvation is just the beginning. There's one process of salvation, then there's another process of being saved. We call it sanctification. Is the outworking of what's already been given to you in the spirit manifesting in your soul. So the areas of your life you need to apply the victory of the cross to. And if you don't do it, you're going to keep living in certain bondages. Now, I'm not here to say you're possessed by a demon. I don't really think Christians can be possessed, but I believe they can be oppressed. And the demonic oppression can manifest in ways where your behaviors and certain areas of your life are being manipulated by darkness, all because the victory of the cross has not been appropriately applied to certain areas of your life. Are you hearing me today? So it's time to delete some softwares that you downloaded. It's time to clean your hard drive. Some of you have been receiving the updates from God on your iPhone. Time for an update. Time for an update. And you've been ignoring. Anyone knows what I'm talking about? The notifications come to your phone. Update. Software update available. Ignore. Update available. Ignore. You've been ignoring it. And all of a sudden, the phone stops working properly because you never updated the software. Are you hearing me today? You can have the hardware looking all perfect, but the phone is not working. You can dress all nice, look all cool, put on your makeup, but you know the software is corrupted. You know there's stuff in your soul that's out of order. And the only way you're going to fix that is by doing your spiritual homework. Because the source of things in the physical are spiritual. So it's like right now, you know, this light is on me and there's a bit of a shadow being cast right now. You don't try to move the shadow around by moving the shadow. To move the shadow, you have to move the thing that's casting the shadow. The shadow is the physical realm. The thing casting the shadow is the spiritual realm. And many Christians are trying to just move the shadow around as opposed to doing their homework in the spirit. This is how miracles are able to happen. How do you think Jesus was able to walk on water? Because he was functioning from another realm in the spirit. And the laws in that realm superseded and superimposed upon the physical laws and manipulated the laws of physics. So now Jesus is walking on what he should be drowning in. Because he's functioning with a higher law, and that is in the realm of the spirit. That's why you need to understand the spiritual realm affects everything in the physical realm. Things don't just happen. You look at your bloodline, you're like, okay, well, this happened to my mom when she was 50. That happened to her grandma when she was 50. Oh, actually, my mom got raped when she was 20. Oh, my goodness, that happened to me when I was 20. Oh, every time I'm about to get a job, this happens. Oh, that happened to my... Are you hearing me? When you see patterns, they're indications of demonic activities. Or every time it gets to this time of the year, this happens to you. No. That's out of order. That's not okay. Well, yeah, I'm saved, and I've been going to church. Yeah, but have you dealt with that area of your soulish life? And are you hearing me right now? God is wanting you to realize everything is spiritual. Now, I'm not here to kind of get you on the other side, because I know some people go on the extreme of this and try to cast demons out of cups of tea. And try to, you know, I understand people can go on their stream. I'm not really talking about, I just want you to be awake to the fact that there's a lot more going on than your eyes can see. The fact that things are being stirred in your workplace, and it's like everywhere you go, it seems like people are constantly against you. People meet you for the first time, they just don't like you. And you're not sure what's going on, but it's like everywhere you go, it's almost like there's something that just pushes people away and just seem to lack a bit of favor. You know, maybe you need to stop crying out, it's racism. Could it be that something else is going on in the realm of the spirit that's now manifesting in the natural? And you are saying racism, but you have no idea that demons are at work. Are you hearing me today? Or you're trying to cry out whatever. You could be crying out whatever. And you have no idea what is really going on in the realm of the spirit. I'm telling you, the more you begin to wake up to this reality, the more you're going to realize the power in prayer. Because when you pray, you're not engaging physical things. You're engaging spiritual things. But your body does not want you to do it. It's called the flesh. So you're more conscious of your flesh. Do you know why? Because you live in this realm where you constantly feed your flesh what it wants. Your flesh wants TV, you give it TV. Your flesh wants internet, you give it internet. Your flesh wants food, you give it food. Your flesh wants to get angry, you give it what it wants. So your flesh is constantly been having its way all of your life. And now you're trying to develop a spiritual life that you have not been accustomed to. So every time you want to push into the spirit, guess what? The pull of the flesh is so strong that you cannot go deep in the spirit. Because, listen, it takes work to press into the realm of the spirit and engage with God. When I say work, I don't mean you're working for your salvation, but it takes effort, the creating of time, which your flesh doesn't want. So you now have a responsibility to starve your flesh. And the Bible talks about crucifying the flesh and then feed your spirit. So you start to feed your flesh. Maybe you start out feeding your flesh more than you feed your spirit. The word of God, spending time in prayer, spending time in worship, waiting on God, all these things, praying in tongues. You're feeding your flesh more than you're feeding your spirit. So your flesh and the spirit end up in a fight. Temptation, in quotes. The one you've been feeding the most is the one that wins. Because what you feed grows and what you starve dies. So, remember Jesus says, pray, lest you fall into temptation. He didn't say, pray, so you avoid temptation. He just says, pray, so when the temptation comes, you're able to resist and you don't fall. So the prayer that helps you to overcome temptation is not so much the prayer you do when the temptation arrives, as it is the prayer you have been doing before. Are you hearing me today? That's what gets you through. Because you're investing in your spirit. I want to round up with this illustration about the significance of the realm of the spirit. You might have been to the movies and seen some of these incredible sci-fi movies. I love them, some of them. And I'm often fascinated with VFX, graphic effects, and cinema, because I have a bit of a video background. So when I watch certain things and I see all the effects, I think, wow, I wonder how they managed to create that. Anyone understand what I'm talking about? I wonder how they managed to do that. That's just incredible. How did they do that? And so sometimes I'll watch behind the scenes. I don't know if you've seen behind the scenes. The creation of that scene. And say in that scene you have some incredible superhero kind of doing some incredible acrobatic stunts, and then all these laser beams are coming from him, and he has all these crazy costumes. I'm like, I wonder how they managed to do that. And then I watch behind the scenes. And when I watch behind the scenes, I'm actually very unimpressed. Because when you see behind the scenes, all you see is an actor. Sometimes he might have a bit of a costume on him. And sometimes they put dots all over him. And then he stands behind something called a green screen. Now, the green is just green, nothing. And so the actor looks at the director, and the director says to the actor, now, actor, I want you to do some acrobatic stunts, and I want you to move your hand this way. And the director says to the actor, when you move your hand this way, you need to know that when you do that, what actually comes out of you is a laser beam. So the actor has to believe the director. So when he moves with the conviction that a laser beam comes out of him, even though he sees nothing coming out of him. Now, when the final production is done and you go to the cinema and watch that particular scene that looked boring, actually you realize it wasn't as boring as it seemed. Because when the actor moved his hand, a laser beam came out of him and all these effects was going over his body, and behind the green screen is this epic craziness thing that's been put there that you never saw behind the scenes. Are you hearing me today? Welcome to the ministry of prayer and intercession. When you get on your knees or you stand up or you say, Lord, I'm here to pray. I'm here to seek your face. Listen, in the realm of the spirit, let me backtrack. In the realm of the natural, you feel nothing. It's like there's a green screen behind you. In the realm of the spirit, the graphic effects have been added. The sound effects have been added. And are you hearing me? The moment you lifted your hands and you said, Jesus, I praise you, what came out of you was an intercontinental ballistic missile. When you stamped your feet and you said, Lord, I worship you, as you were stamping your feet, there was earthquake going on in the realm of the spirit, destroying the altars of wickedness. But you did not see it in the natural. But in the heaven's perspective, all the effects had been added. And they were not just effects. They were actually happening as you did it. But because you felt nothing, it doesn't mean nothing was going on. So when you pray, you need to realize prayer is epic. Someone say prayer is epic. You don't have to feel it for it to be real. You're called a believer, not a feeler. So when you pray, you have to know that things are happening, whether you feel it or not. There are some prayer meetings I'm in, and I'm like, Lord, I cannot wait to get to heaven to watch the playback of this prayer meeting with all the effects that were added on it. Ah! Because so much was going on, and even though the guy in the corner was snoring, I know something was happening in the realm of the spirit. because I am a spiritual being, and I know when I pray, you respond. And I know things are shifting. In fact, I can feel the resistance. Lord, I know it's demonic resistance. I'm not going to let go, because whatever the devil is trying to do, he's already lost this battle. So I'm going to be contented, because I know the angels around me right now, I don't have to see them. I know they're there. Goodness and mercy. They're following me. I don't know about you. They're following me. And God is having certain angels he releases to me for specific assignments. So I know I am never alone. So I tap into the source of power, the realm of the spirit, before I am engaging in natural things. You're about to go for a job interview. Tap into the realm of the spirit. Lord, is this the job you have for me? I suppose you're saying, Lord, give me the job. Well, how about if it's not the one God wants for you? Because you never looked in the realm of the spirit to find out. You just go in, oh yeah, I just want this. Well, that might not be where God wants you. You want to get married? Well, Lord, is this the one? Lord, I like him. Well, as a Christian, you can like 1,000 people. They're all Christians, but that doesn't mean they're the right one for you. Because the Bible says not being unequally yoked. You can be unequally yoked to a Christian. Because God did not pick them for you. Young people, listen. Joseph had to marry Mary. There was no other person on the planet. Are you hearing me today? Joseph was made for Mary, and Mary was made for Joseph. Why would you tell me that marriage was of God's destiny and purpose, and God orchestrated that, and God would do that and not be concerned about my destiny and my purpose and your purpose? Are you hearing me? And actually, it's not about my destiny and my purpose. It's his purpose. So my life plugs into his purpose. And in his ultimate purpose, he prepared someone for me to walk in that purpose so we can achieve what he ordained. God's purposes doesn't change. But the plans might alter here and there because of bad decisions we make. Are you hearing me? So we need to learn how to tap into the realm. That's epic. And I love, and I know in this church, there will be people even here right now who have seen demons, who have seen angels, who have been able to see. And sometimes, especially those who are not used to it, they go, oh, I'm crazy, I can't say this to anyone. They might think I'm losing my mind. Listen, demons are real. I said it before, angels are real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Just get over it. Now, if all you're seeing is darkness and oppression and demons, then you probably need to be praying and saying, Lord, this is out of order. This is not okay. Because there's a lot more in the realm of the spirit than just demons. Okay, so you want to be more discerning of what God is doing. Now, when God has called you and demons shows up in the way, you know what you do? You get them out of the way. You kick them out. But my job is not going out demon hunting. You hear me? I'm not going everywhere trying to find demons. No. But when I am doing what God's called me to do and a demon shows up in the way, I'm going to kick it out. Yeah, absolutely. So, all of that to say, the realm of the spirit is such an important realm for us as believers to grab hold of when we come to pray. Fill your mind with so much truth about who God is and what goes on when you pray and what God says takes place in the spirit as you read the scriptures, and God says about what happens when you declare his word, how the angels respond to his word, hacking onto his word, and all these, and you fill your mind with so much a revelation about who God is and what happens when you pray in the realm of the spirit, that when you get on your own to pray, or you're in a prayer meeting and you feel nothing and everything feels boring and disconnected, because your mind has been filled with so much truth about the reality of what goes on when you pray, you will not be distracted by the lack of physical feelings. So you're able to press through the boredom because of the revelation. And in my experience, the boredom is often just a barrier. When you push through that, you're going to be glad you pushed through. Because on the other side is just glory. You know, there's sometimes when I pray, I look at the time. I thought I was praying for an hour, but I looked at the time, it's only 5 minutes. And what I'm talking about? And then there's some other times when you pray and you think it's been 5 minutes. And it's been an hour, 2 hours. You know what's happened? You've become more spirit conscious. And those of you who pray in tongues, when you start praying in tongues, you can feel the resistance of the flesh or and the resistance of the spiritual atmosphere that's already around you. So you need to discern the resistance I'm feeling right now. Is it inward or is it just this atmosphere? If it's inward, then you might need to deal with some things and confess and whatever else you need to do there. However, if it's external, you just need to press through and keep going. Because oftentimes people feel the resistance and they think God has abandoned them or God doesn't want to listen to my prayers today and whatever. Boy, they have no idea about just the fact that they need to push through that resistance. And when you start praying in tongues, oftentimes I find it easy to discern an atmosphere by how it is when I pray in tongues. Because when you start praying in tongues, one of the first things you start to realize, let me talk from my perspective, is when I'm very conscious of the resistance and I feel the opposition, I notice that as I'm praying in tongues, I feel more self-conscious. And it feels like my words are falling to the ground. And even sometimes demonic whispers of this is just silliness. You're not saying anything that makes any... Anyone knows what I'm talking about? Because you're facing the resistance. That the emotion and the everything you feel, that's just the resistance of the flesh or spiritually around you. And now you need to make a decision that you are not going to stop. Because he says there's a river that comes from within you, out of your belly. Now, when you break through, you're going to know you've broken through. Because as you're praying in the spirit or worshiping, you are more spirit conscious than flesh conscious. And you find that the song or the tongue is just flowing out of you like a river. Anyone knows what I'm talking about here? You've broken through. Oftentimes people break through and they just stay there for a few minutes and walk away. No. Try to stay as long as you can in that wave, in that river, in that flow, because you're in the flow of the Spirit. And that is where revelation takes place. That is where war is won. That's where battles are won. Are you hearing me? You have to press into that realm. But oftentimes when you start praying, it's not easy because you're more flesh conscious, but you need to tune your mind to realize this is spiritual activity. The flesh doesn't want this. So flesh, shut up. And now I'm going to pray. Whether I feel something or not right now, I'm going to push through until I break through. Amen. Do you understand? Let's pray. Hopefully the last session we'll get to pray for breakthroughs in specific areas where people are struggling. But right now, maybe you just want to recommit your heart to the Lord in this area, saying, Lord, cause me to be awake to the realm of the Spirit. Actually, you might want to pray over yourself. Say, Lord, increase my discernment. Increase my sensitivity, Lord. Break away the dullness that has been on my heart because of the culture or because of bad decisions. Lord, awaken me to begin to pick up on spiritual activities like I've never done before. Father, cause me to receive a fresh wave of dreams and visions. The language of the last days is prophecy, dreams and visions. Joel 2:28 says this, pour my spirit on all flesh, sons and daughters prophesy, and old men dream dreams. You know, so there's dreams and visions. This is not something for the prophet or for the man or the woman of God over there. It's for every one of us who are believers. We're all supposed to walk in dreams and visions and revelations. That's how the Father speaks to us, through his word, by revelation in his word, through dreams like he did with Joseph when he was about to divorce Mary. Lord, we're asking for an increase of sensitivity in this room, Father, that the believers in this place will walk into a whole new realm of awareness of the realm of the spirits. Father, let the blinders be removed in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, let the covering be removed. Even like Elisha prayed for the servants, that you would open his eyes, that he will see that there is more than is for us than is against them. Lord, I'm praying that reality, that we will see that there's more in the army of God for us than there is against us. Just like you opened the eyes of Elisha's servant, I pray you open our eyes afresh in the name of Jesus. Open my eyes, open our eyes to new realms of possibilities, new dimensions of engaging activities in the realm of the Spirit, Father. Let the dullness be broken off right now. Yes, the cultural dullness that will seek to come over us, let it be broken. Let there be a sensitivity to you and to the things of God in a new way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And we're going to have just a short opportunity to stretch your legs, go to the toilet. But I'm going to just ask Garrel to keep playing, and maybe the worship team could join him. So if you want to, let's just spend some time just encountering God and maybe pressing in a little bit more into some of the things that James has been saying. Father, we thank you that you're here, Lord God, and your glory is being revealed even as we've been worshipping and even as we've been listening and sitting under your word today, Father, your glory is being revealed in this place, Lord God, and we just thank you, Lord God. We're so grateful, Lord God, and we pray for more in Jesus' name. Amen.